And good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're joined by Rowland County Judge Executive Jim Nickel. Fiscal Court met this week. And Jim, as always, welcome to the program. I think you're down to your last two shows now, starting with today's.
In December, Chuck, I have to warn you, may be a very short one, because usually you just pay the bills for that month and then that's about
We'll find something to talk about. I'm not letting you out of here without completing your work, believe me. Well, let's talk a little bit about county business. I know we mentioned here a moment ago that you're just about at the end of your tenure as the judge executive. And as you get ready to wrap up over these next several weeks and the last couple of months, so what would you like to accomplish?
Well, as we took place in court yesterday, we are down to the last three architect firms for the new detention center, and we interviewed those roundtables yesterday. There was a second round with the architect firms, and we also received inquiries from four construction manager firms, which we will be interviewing next Tuesday. And once we do those interviews, we'll be ready to go ahead and bring the architect and the CM on board, and they can start the business of doing the design and the choosing of the property and those things. So our goal is, and the magistrates, I think, feel the same way, is that we need to get everything in place for the new administration to come in and carry forward. If we don't do that, then they'll have to start from square one and start all over again. So that's our goal, is to get this completed, and it's on schedule to get done.
Are you trying to meld perhaps the best architect with the right construction manager?
Well, a construction firm is as good as the superintendent you have on site for your project. So it, a lot of it is personality. So you meet with these folks, and you go over their experiences with building projects, whether it be detention centers or other buildings. You get to be face-to-face with the superintendent who will be on site with that project. References, a lot goes into it. And then you also tie that CM in with the architect who may have worked together in the past. Architect will also have a voice in the CM because they have worked with various firms throughout the state. So it's a process, and we're getting there. And as I say, probably in the next 2 weeks we'll have those two firms on board. And yesterday we did award the financial services to Civic Finance Advisors, who we've worked with before, who will handle the bonding issue. And so we're getting everybody in place, and it'll be ready for the next administration to go ahead and move it forward.
Is there any certain deciding factor in your mind when you look at the candidates, the companies that are bidding to become the architect for the new jail?
Well, one thing, architect firms kind of specialize. They kind of, not all, but they have specialties, like Sherman Carter Barnhart, who did our judicial center and courthouse, also does a lot of school stuff. They do a lot of administrative-type buildings. Detention centers are a different animal. You have some architect firms, CMW, DLZ. Some of those firms do a lot of detention centers and a lot of juvenile correctional facilities, those type things. So you look for firms that have had experience, and hopefully they have learned from that experience how to design yours. And so that's what we're looking for.
Again, who are the three finalists for the architect's work?
That's, excuse me, CMW out of Lexington, DLZ out of Frankfort, and JKS, a lot of initials there, out of Hopkinsville. They all have a very deep knowledge of design and building of detention centers. So we should get a good one out of there.
When we talk about the CM or construction manager, many people don't realize what that job entails. Maybe you could explain that.
Well, the CM, you have a couple of ways that you can build a building, and one is it's architect built where you don't use a CM. The architect would actually go out and you would have a general contractor, and the CM may be on site a couple of times a month, more if needed, depending on where you're at in the building stage. A CM actually puts all of that together. They put all the subcontractors, the general contractor, and they take all those bid packages and put it out to bid. And you may have, say, 8 bids on for block layers. You may have 5 bids to do your electrical and so on, whereas a general contractor furnishes all that. Plus you have a general superintendent on the project who will be there every day overseeing, making sure everything's done right, making sure the building's done right. So it takes a lot. Hopefully the thing is that you will get it cheaper. You can do the job cheaper. Plus you will have someone there to make sure that everything's done the right way. And so that's the advantages of having a CM. Plus you save tax. We don't pay sales tax, so we'll save a considerable amount of money on that.
Who are the candidates for the construction manager's job?
There are 4 companies that I know of in Kentucky that do most of that work, and one is Codale out of Winchester, Alliance out of Glasgow. They also have offices in Prestonsburg. Pax here in Morehead, who used to work with Alliance some, and they're kind of new on the CM scene, but they have worked in conjunction with other companies. And then you have Trace Creek out of Vanceburg, and Trace Creek is not only a big construction company, but they also do CM work as well. So those are 4 candidates, and we'll be interviewing those folks next Tuesday, the 28th, I think it is. As I said, once we interview those firms, we'll hopefully have our team together, and they can start the process.
We've talked about sites a number of times over the last several months, potential sites for the new detention center, and in terms of number of sites, where are you right now?
You know, as you may know, we re-advertised for in any other sites over a year ago or so. We did get 6-7 more possible sites in to look at. We did not discuss those sites because it's the court's feeling we need to get our team in place before we go out and start actually looking at the 3 or 4 sites that may be usable. We can narrow those down based on the availability of infrastructure there, such as electric, sewer, those type things. And our architect and CM will also be involved in choosing the best site. One thing about an architect firm, they have a PR person that can go out and talk to the public and tell them about and actually have an input on design and what it's going to look like and those type things. So I'm sure the next court will decide, you know, on that location. And there are a couple of good sites, I think, that they have to pick from.
Are there a lot of these sites that you're looking at, do they have, I imagine they all have various benefits, each one, but do they have maybe a common core theme of something that you count on that you need for the jail?
Well, as we look, you know, a year and a half ago, and the property that we wanted to purchase and then the buyers eventually backed out was large enough to put the facility in the middle of it without any exposure. You couldn't see it from the road or anyplace else. So we look at close proximity to other houses or whatever it may be. We also look at the distance from the court system, where how far will you have to transport these folks, and the routes that you will have to travel. So there's a lot of things that goes into, you know, exactly where we're going to look and where it's going to be put.
Well, moving on to maybe some other things that you've worked on. I see something here on the agenda in regards to the Sheriff's Department.
We did. The Sheriff's Department had proposed an interlocal agreement with other counties and cities Where they can come in and actually help Round County and the city of Moorhead. There are lots of Mason, Madison County, Clark. There are, 15, 20 counties and cities that enter into this interlocal agreement that where they can cross lines and help each other when needed. So the county has to agree to that, the Sheriff's Department, and we agreed to that yesterday and had that signed.
So just in case you need extra law enforcement for any purpose at all, you can count on some of these others to help
sure.
you out and vice versa.
That's what it was all about.
All right. Let's move on. So you dealt with some things in regards to the road department. I was going to ask you about something in connection with that, too, as well. You got some bids, I guess, for some trucks.
We did. We needed a couple of ton trucks. we'll be putting some dump trucks and new snow plows and those things on it. Court authorized me to go ahead and purchase two new trucks from Fannin Chevrolet. He was the low bidder on the two trucks, and hopefully we have our fingers crossed those will come in before the snow flies, so we'll have some extra trucks there as well.
How's the preparations going right now for the road department in regards to getting ready for this winter?
Well, we discussed that as well. Usually go out and we start greasing and painting and making sure all the equipment's in good working order, and that's what Paul and his crew is doing now. So he seems to think everything's in good shape. We have the our salt bin should be filled by the end of the month, so we're ready to go. Hopefully, it won't come too early this year like it did last year. I think last year we had snow in November.
We did.
So hopefully that'll wait a while. But
till January 1st, I know.
Yeah, till at least January 1st. But the road department's ready, and they have their equipment stuff ready to go. And those guys do an excellent job out there. Very proud of them.
How much salt does your bin hold, roughly, and how much do you have in there roughly now?
We will have, when it's full, this beginning, probably about 650 ton out there. And then as we use it, we get down to 350, 400 ton, we'll put in another order and kind of replenish that. We try to keep it full, and that's something that you can carry over. It's not going to run from season to season, so hopefully it'll won't have to be replenished.
Well, I had the chance to talk to Mayor Perkins about the city and its salt supply right now. I said, well, our bin, I think it holds about 120 or 125 tons. He said it's pretty well full, but right now we're having trouble trying to find more because the supplier for the city has said, we're not going to supply you anymore. I guess they've got maybe too many back orders or whatever. I'm not sure exactly what the reason is. And so they're having problems finding someone to deliver to the city. Is the county running into that situation at all?
No, we bid our salt out early. I think it was May or June of this past spring, summer. And we entered into a contract and had that contract signed. The city, along... and we used to purchase salt from Morton Salt, who the city also does business with. And recently Morton contacted all the municipalities, the cities and counties that they used to supply to, and informed them that they would no longer be doing that, that they had to supply the state their state contracts, whether that's Kentucky or whoever. So it kind of put... not only Moorhead, but a lot of other municipalities through the state in a pretty hard place. Now they're scrambling trying to find suppliers. And the other side to the coin is that the price has doubled. So we in the county government are lucky that we had our contract signed early with North American. And I hope the city finds a supplier here pretty soon. I told the mayor and some of the council people that, you know, if we have it, we can maybe help them along and till they do find one.
Where's North American out of?
North American's out of the barges actually come into Portsmouth, Ohio, and they bring it from there and truck it in. North America is from up, I think they have offices in Chicago and a couple other places, but they're a pretty large supplier. They also supply the state of Kentucky as well, so it's a big company.
I've seen the estimates on salt right now, and you mentioned the price has gone way up. I think Mayor Perkins told me that they'd paid about $70 a ton last year, and now he said that we've seen estimates as high as like $180 a ton. How much is the county contracted for?
Our contract, we locked it in for, it's around $77, $78.
So you did pretty well, it sounds like.
We done good, yes. We done good.
Well,
and that's up from over last year. It was $4 or $5 less a ton last year. So, you know, as everything else, it goes up in price. But we were very lucky to secure our supply and hopefully we won't have to use it all.
I'm wondering if it's just the demand from last year that's driving the price up, because so much had to be sent out last year all over the country because we had a wicked winter in many parts of the Midwest and the eastern part of the U.S., or is it the fact that they're expecting another bad winter and perhaps they're already trying to head that off and make their money while they can?
Well, you know, it's like when you only have three main suppliers of a product. It's very easy to control the price, especially if you start denying some places that product. And that's, in this case, that's maybe what one of these suppliers are doing. And then everything goes to the open market, and, of course, the price goes up. We ran out of salt at the end of last year. We got down pretty low. Sold everyone else. Everybody did. We just had such a bad winter. And especially in the north, the product is going to go where it's going to bring the highest price. And that's what happens. When you can sell salt for $150 a ton and 100 miles north of you, that's where you're going to go with your product. That's where I would go if I was a business person. But it makes it hard on smaller counties and communities. And we worked with the state last year. They helped us out some, but this year that's not going to happen. No counties are going to have be able to do that, to have contracts with the state for that help. So counties are going to have to really watch, you know, their salt supplies and how they use it. You're not going to be able to throw it out everywhere. It's going to have to be used very wisely.
Again, our guest today on the front page is Rowan County Judge Executive Jim Nickel. We'll go ahead and pause on the show, come back with more right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's front page. Again, Rowan County Judge Executive Jim Nickel is our guest on the program. And Judge Nickel, as we continue our discussion, I saw that there's something here. There was an update regarding a resurfacing project that you gave the council, or rather the magistrates this week.
We have three pools of money that we draw from for our resurfacing projects. And one is a flex fund, which are those dollars that come from your rural and secondary road program through the state, that they allow us to use 25% of those funds on county roads, which amounted to about $242,243, somewhere in there, $1,000. We also had some discretionary funds this year that come through Secretary Hancock's office. We were able to secure, and with the help of our representative, Rocky Agins, about $300,000. So those funds, along with the $200,000 we put in locally, so we're putting down right at $750,000 in resurface. That sounds like a lot of money, but when it comes to blacktop and resurface, it's not going to go real far. It's very expensive. It's $83.50 a ton laid in place. So, and it takes a lot to maintain those roads. We have our discretionary funding, all that done. Our flex funding is about over half done, and our county resurfaces about half done. They're going to be coming back. They had to leave to finish the 519 project and should be back in Tarr County Tuesday and to finish up these projects. So if folks see where we've milled on county roads, there's a rough place or some markings, they're going to come back and finish those projects up and hopefully get them done before it gets real cold.
Well, and the problem has been lately has not been the cold so much, but all the rain.
Yeah, the rain really sets, especially resurfacing companies, really sets them back. You know, you can't do anything as long as it rains, and then about the time it dries up that you can do something, here comes the rain again. So, but they look like the weather's cooperating a little bit. They've been working weekends and should be finishing up everything here very shortly.
I want to ask you about something, and this was a part of the forum. I know you don't really have a dog in the fight when you talk about your successor as judge executive, but there was an issue that came up, and I've talked to both candidates, both Mr. White and Dr. Blevins, about the issue of having a deputy judge executive. And, of course, Dr. Blevins says he feels like that he can do the job without one, and he can take that money, I think it's $40,000 or somewhere around there, and take those dollars and put them into something else. And, of course, Mr. White believes that he needs one, and the county is busy enough that you need to have two people doing the job. So kind of moving forward, what are your thoughts about that position?
You know, I've always had a deputy judge. Jerry Alderman has done an outstanding work and job for me. And I went down and I listened to the – wouldn't really call it a debate, a question and answer for the couple questions of the judge and other candidates. And, you know, it's easy to say what you're going to do when you've never been in that position. I can't see, and I owned a business, part of a business, whenever I come into the office 8 years ago. I sold that. I got out of it. This is absolutely a full-time job. You can't run other businesses and have other interests out there if you're going to do a good job for the county. It takes 100% of your time. There are numerous boards and committees and that you have to go to. When the session's in, you're running to Frankfort to try to secure funds and help for your county. I've been to Washington a couple times. You're all time going someplace. It is virtually impossible for one person to do it all, and I disagree with Mr. Blevins on that. If you look at experience, nothing you have done will prepare you for county government, running the judge executive's office in this county. And I wish all of them well, believe me.
Well, and the thing was, you went into the office with already having the experience of being the judge executive before, but as we've talked about in recent shows, that your last experience was a lot different than your current experience.
It was change, the change that takes place from year to year, in from 8 years ago to today, the changes that have taken place and the pressures and the adjustments that you have to make is a day-to-day basis, and especially when budget time runs around. I mean, we're in pretty good shape financially. We don't have a lot of money to do other things with, but we pay the bills and we pay our employees. Everything's in pretty good shape, but it's just the demand that people puts on you sometimes it will work on you. But as I say, I don't have a fight in that race, and I wish both of them well.
Judge, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Judge Executive Jim Nickel, our guest today on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. See you next time.